School, we're going to continue,
and I got kind of in a frustrating place as a teacher. A couple weeks ago or a month ago or so, I finished up an outline, and then I had to start a new one in the middle, and so we've been constantly trying to chase half an outline every Sunday school. We'll try to reconcile that this morning. Your outline this morning is a continuation, but it also has the blanks from last Sunday. And so you'll see those on here as we go forward. Now, we've talked about several things bringing you up to speed. We've talked about the title of this is Taking It Personally. We know what the Great Commission is. How do we practically implement it? And we talked about the importance of sharing the gospel. The gospel needs to be shared. We are the ones with the gospel. We talked about what it means to share the gospel. It is primarily a message. And 1 Corinthians, that says 1 Corinthians 1. It should be 1 Corinthians 15, 1, 3, and 4. That text is here on the screen. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. I take people to this place whenever I talk to them about the gospel. You would not believe, and maybe you would, how many folks, when you talk to them about it, They don't know what the gospel is, and they'll have different definitions depending on what church background they came from, or sometimes they don't even know what that word means. But the gospel is primarily the message that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So it's important to share it. It's important to know what it means and to share it with people. Then we took the step to establishing new Christians. Once they receive the gospel, they must then be discipled as new believers. And Matthew 28, 19 through 20 tells us that. Teaching them all things, it says. Teaching them about Jesus Christ, baptizing them, and then teaching them to observe all things. That is discipleship. So last Sunday, we likened soul winning to gardening. We said that being an effective witness means understanding how the gospel must take root. It takes patience sometimes, and it can be likened to gardening. We read out of Matthew 13, I won't have you turn there this morning, of the parable of the seed and the sower. And Jesus told that parable where He spread the seed and it landed on different grounds. And you must plant the seed of the gospel. You must water the seed of the gospel. Sometimes you need to break up the ground. And sometimes you need to plant or water frequently. Paul the Apostle says in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And so recognizing the importance, recognizing the message, you and I, as we seek to be an influence, must realize that if we're going to be effective, being an effective witness, and that's what lesson four is, that we have to have the right mindset. We don't just say, well, I shared the gospel once and it's done. We need to say, God, help me to be an effective witness having the right mindset. Sometimes we plant and sometimes we never see the result. Sometimes we step in and we reap the fruit where somebody else has planted and watered. Jesus makes that comment in John 4:38. He says, I sent you to reap whereon ye bestowed no labor. They just walked into it. God had been working on their hearts. Other people had. And He says, ye are entered into their labors. So that brings us to the first point there, using a prospect list. A prospect list is a tool that soul winners can use in soul winning. What is a prospect list? Well, what is a prospect list? That's capital letter A. A prospect list is simply this. It's a tool for stewarding gospel contacts. A tool for stewarding gospel contacts. A simple list of people you have made contact with, a record of attempts you've had with them, and it helps us keep in contact with those people, keep track of them. It'll help us follow up on those that we've met on door to door. It'll help us follow up on seeing new Christians baptized. Remember, if a new believer is born again into the body of Christ, and they're a baby Christian, our responsibility as the church doesn't end when they get saved. In many ways, it takes a new step forward. And we are to desire to see that new believer then get implemented into the church, get baptized, get discipled, added to the church and grounded. A prospect list can help us with that. So who do you include on your prospect list? Well, Jesus said in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, that's a good place to start. Do you know any lost people? Yeah. Do you ever contact people that might be lost? You'll never share the gospel with the wrong person. I firmly believe that. I've heard folks say before, you know, I had to pray whether or not I should share the gospel with this person. Maybe pray for God's blessing, but I don't know that you have to pray whether or not you should be obedient, if you know what I mean. Are you with me? Are you with me, church? I don't know if we need to pray that we should be obedient. Lord, should I go to church on Sunday? You know, Lord, should I read my, do you really want me to read my Bible? Lord, do you really want me to witness? Yes. And we need to pray that God gives us sensitivity, but who can go on this? Well, many times it's the lost people. Anyone who's, and I have a list of these, anyone who's a positive contact for the gospel, a guest at church, a classmate, a business contact, a coworker, a neighbor, somebody you've met on door to door, maybe somebody that God has just brought back from your past that's a burden on your heart. If you're on social media, sometimes on social media, people will pop up that have been in your past. You haven't seen them in years, and all of a sudden they friend you, or they friend request, or you come into contact. You see something on your newsfeed. You get reacquainted with someone and realize that there are specific spiritual needs in their life that could be met by the Lord, and God begins to burden your heart. Well, that's a definite indication that the Lord wants you involved in their life. It's based on our desire for influence. Understand this, a contact list is not it's not gimmicky, okay? We're not trying to trademark things. We're not trying to fit God into a formula. Well, if you do this and you do this and you do this, then that's absolutely going to, no, that's not the case, okay? What is it that produces faith? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the? That's the only formula, friend. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Faith comes by hearing. You present the gospel. They can have faith. They can get saved. That's the formula. But sometimes if we want to be more effective, we need things to remind us. I know I need reminders. Okay, that's the whole purpose of a church bulletin is reminders. And we have all these things. We have these cards, and we have a prayer list, and we have reminders on our smartphone. We have alarms that remind us to do things. We need reminders. And a contact list can help us with this. It should include anyone who we're burdened for. If somebody's on your heart and you're burdened for them, put them on your contact list. Unless they're like another believer in the church who's on the prayer list or something. But if you're burdened with someone in regards to salvation or spiritual growth, put them on there. It should include those you've shared the gospel with or those you have led to the Lord. You know, if you talk to somebody about the Lord and they're busy but interested, put them on the contact list. When I've been on door-to-door visitation before, somebody's slightly interested. Well, it's just really not a good time. They go on my contact list. Now, if they tell me, I'm not interested, go away, get off my property, they don't go on my contact list. You know, I pray for them as I'm walking away, but I can't spend a bunch of time on somebody whose gate door is completely closed. God's going to work on that. God's word will not return void. But we do need to foster those areas where there is possibility. You know, our goal is to bring these folks to church to be an effective witness. Who? Many folks. God will direct you. And what do you put about them? Well, you put their name, their phone, their point of contact, where you met them, if there's interests or things that will help you relate to this individual. Maybe there's somebody that's familiar. Well, then that's not difficult. You also put a follow-up record. You could just put a date beside it. You know, you figure out your own lingo, your own code. Put a date there beside them and how you contacted them. If you sent them a postcard, with the church, I have a contact list for people that I've visited and for people that have visited the church. That's one of the reasons we hand out our visitors' cards, is because I have a desire, if they've come to the church, have a desire to be an influence in their life. And so, now if they tell me at some point in time, I'm with another church and I'm not interested, then I take that card and I mark it that way. But otherwise, I'll follow up with a postcard. I send it to them because I want them to know that we care about them, okay? Even though we don't know them very well, we want to. And then you send them a postcard, and then if they reply, or you send them an email, and if there have been people that have come and visited before and I haven't seen them, they go into a special contact where 6 months from now, I'll follow up again. And you just continue to keep that in there, to reach out. How you contacted them, phone, email, text, visit. So how do you use this? Well, the people that are on this contact list, you want to stay in contact with them. Excuse me, prospect list. I keep using that word contact. Please forgive me. Prospect list. I think we should pray. Pray daily. The word there, number one, is pray. Pray daily. We can work. What did Paul say? He says, I've watered, I planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase? God gave the increase. That's exactly right. We work in expectation that God will work too. You can do what you should do, but at some point it's up to the Lord. And we need to be praying that God will work on their hearts through other things. We need to be praying that God will use us effectively. Paul says in Romans 1:9, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Pray for them. It is God who must give the end. These are people for whom we must pray if this contact, if this prospect is to be meaningful. Now, pray for God to help you meet in other areas, too. It's interesting how many folks that I have met through other situations and then just run into them different places around town. Servicemen. I'll meet them in a restaurant. You work here, and you meet them in other places, and all of a sudden you begin to see them in other places. Is that by accident? I don't think it is. I don't think it is at all. And they begin to see that you're the same person, that you have a consistent Christian witness, that you care about them, and it's not just a once and done thing. You're not a notch on their belt. They're not a notch on your belt. They're actually an individual for whom you pray. Pray for them daily. Contact them weekly. Contact them weekly. Now, I would say maybe modify this. If there's no response, drop back a little bit. But you're endeavoring to contact the people on a regular basis. The goal is to influence them, not just to ease your mind. You know, we're not just doing this because we say, well, I feel guilty about it. Now that I do it, I don't feel guilty anymore. Sometimes Christians serve that way. I've seen that happen before. And then, you know, that can, if you're obeying the Lord, then yes, you won't feel the conviction. But your goal really is to have an influence in their life. And so the goal is to make contact with them. And I would say this too, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. There are times that the Lord will bring someone to mind. I cannot tell you how many times I will be going through my day and all of a sudden somebody will come to my mind who I've not talked to for a month or two. I've not called. And it's just, it's there. Sometimes I've ignored it and I shouldn't. But the times that I have reached out to those individuals, sent them a text message, I'm praying for you, sent them a Bible verse, given them a call, paid them a visit. It's fascinating how many of those times something was going on in their life that corresponded. And they'll say, you know, I really needed the encouragement today. Thank you. I do have something. I do need help with this. This is going on. I'm glad you called. I'm glad you visited. God will lead us if we will listen. Sometimes we don't listen. But be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Contact weekly. And then update regularly. Try to keep it current, okay? Be diligent with the weekly contacts and periodically update the list using a prospect list. I would say the second thing, and this is on the next page of your notes, using a prospect list will help us in being a more effective witness, but also developing an everywhere mentality. An everywhere mentality. What does this mean? That's pretty self-explanatory, but we'll flesh it out. We'll flesh it out. In Acts 8:4, it talks about the movement of the new church and that those that got saved there at Pentecost, they begin to face persecution by the Apostle Paul. And we say, there are certain things we would look at and we would say, oh, that's horrible. You know, persecution is always bad, bad, bad from human perspective. We pray that persecution would not come to our country. And yet, whenever persecution comes to the church, it stirs it up, and the church usually does more good after persecution. Now, I don't want persecution. That's like people say, I want patience, but don't pray for patience. because you'll get you'll get tribulation, all right? Tribulation worketh patience. Well, Acts 8:4 here, this record that they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. The reason they were scattered is because of persecution. In fact, if you read in James chapter 1, it's written to those that were scattered abroad. The results, the Christians that got saved because the church was scattered in Jerusalem, that's the church to whom James was written. Okay, all these people scattered around. It was an occasional epistle written for a specific purpose, not to just a church, but to all these believers that were scattered abroad. And you know, that's really what we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be a witness for God everywhere. Acts 1:8, Jesus tells the apostles there, he says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall, what does he say? Ye shall be witnesses. He doesn't say, ye shall then witness. You shall be witness. Witnessing is not just something we should do once in a while. It's something we should be. It's our identity. Do you understand the difference? There's a very big difference in something you do and something you are. Something you are shows forth wherever you're at. Christians should be followers of Christ wherever, okay? Soul winning is a multifaceted, if it is to be successful. It should be our life, you know. And that's where sometimes when we don't take steps to do this, it's because we only see one aspect. Well, I can't do it that way, so I can't do it. I can't do it the same way they do. I'm not like that person. I can't go there. You know, my health isn't the same. I can't go out door knocking because of my knees or whatever. And I realize, you know, I'm speaking to a crowd. Maybe there are things that hold you up. But do you realize that soul winning doesn't have anything to do with going to people's houses? That's just one part. Conversations with others, family members, businesses, coworkers, Facebook, vendors, even telemarketers. You know, we're in a day and age where people call you, right? And you don't have, by the way, they have to listen to you. And sometimes they're not allowed to hang up. I've known people who said, whenever telemarketers call me, anybody here harassed with telemarketers? Somebody's being harassed right now. No, I'm just kidding. I got harassed with a text message earlier. Yeah, we are. And if we're not careful, they irritate us. They do irritate me. I won't answer them. If I don't recognize the telephone number, I say, they can talk to voicemail. Amen. But when a telemarketer calls you and they say, hi, I represent such and such Infinity Group. You say, oh, that's great. I have something I'd like to tell you today. That would just shock them. Okay, they go, I don't know how often that happens, but that would be a story for them to tell. And as they talk, you insert the gospel, you know. I've never done that. I'd like to do it sometime. But we can see people as souls. That person there, they have a lot of people probably swear at them, but probably nobody give them the gospel. And so an everywhere mentality means this, seeing people as souls. When Jesus looked at people, that's what he saw, Matthew 9:36. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. He looked through everything else that would distract us from a person's real value. Remember, the people around you are not bodies with a soul. You do not have a soul. You are a soul. Does that make sense? You have a body. But you are a soul. You'll lose that body one day, okay? You're going to get a new one. But your soul is forever. You were born with it, and wherever you go for eternity, it is who you are. It is the essence of your personality. It is your thought and decision-making part of your triune being. We are body, soul, and spirit, and at birth, you are born with a body. Your soul is alive. It's who you are. Your spirit is dead. When you get saved, your spirit gains life, but your soul continues living. And if we get caught up with who people are in their body, see, some people are kind of unlovable. We don't like who they've become, their attitudes, their actions, their personality. The way that they look, the way that they behave, sometimes those things are not easy to love. They're not. Sometimes, you know, idiosyncrasies and things turn us off about people. Sometimes people can be obnoxious. look in the mirror sometimes. I know, I've been that way, and I go, oh my goodness. But if we see them as souls for whom Christ died, who will spend eternity somewhere, a lot of those outside things that irritate us will drop away. They're of lesser importance. They're temporal. If we get caught up on those, especially with the unsaved. Did you know that unsaved people act like unsaved people? Oh, I cannot believe it. I can't believe that people would act that way. Well, they're unsaved. They're not like Christ. Sometimes people are pleasant and endearing. I do know the unsaved people that are like that. Just the greatest person in the world. They're still not saved. But then I know some people that are not. Jesus still loves them. So see people as souls. It'll make a difference. I'd say this, look for opportunities. Look for opportunities. 1 Thessalonians 2:4, Paul the Apostle says, as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. God gave us this. I need to look for opportunities. Every contact with a person is an opportunity of some kind, some aspect, some degree to influence. It doesn't mean that every time you speak with somebody, you're going to have a sit-down, heart-to-heart talk with about their eternity. That's not what this means. It means that every contact God orchestrates is there for some reason for you to be an influence of some degree, okay? Maybe watering. It's just a drop of water. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered. You can't always give them the whole watering can at one time, you know? Maybe you can't saturate the ground, but you can drip a little bit. Some degree. Pass them a tract. Invite them to church. Talk to them about the Lord. Tell them have a blessed day, you know. Don't talk about good luck. Talk about answered prayer, about how good God is. People alert to those sort of things. I complain about customer service line at Walmart, you know. You're in the customer service line at Walmart. What do people love to do? Complain. They complain. I guarantee you turn the conversation around, you know. Just give a praise about the Lord. They're there. It's a captive audience. Your barber, you know, those different things. Share your faith. And then pray that God would help you to be soul conscious. Look for an opportunity. I'd say, thirdly, steward relationships. Steward relationships. You are a representative of God wherever you are. God put you there. And as His representative, He has placed you where you are in contact with the people that you are in contact with for a reason. It may not be to see this person saved. It may to move them a little bit further along. It may be to awaken them, to show them what Christians can be. Because a lot of times, one of the greatest complaints that the unsaved people have about Christianity is Christians. Okay? We drop the ball a lot. We're just humans. But maybe you can be the one to turn that around. Maybe you're the one that God brings into someone who has turned away from the Lord, and He's bringing them back. Steward those relationships. You think about the effective Christians in the New Testament. One who God used mightily to reach thousands on the day of Pentecost. Peter, right? Did you know that Peter was the result of a stewarded relationship? This text here in John 1:41, this was Simon Peter's brother who got saved. He was won to the Lord by his brother. He got saved, and he immediately went and found his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which being interpreted is the Christ. And Peter came to Jesus Christ. You never know the impact you will have by reaching those you already know. You might win somebody to the Lord. You might have an impact, and you never know what takes place later on. By the way, we don't need to in order for it to be obedience. God never says, you're going to see all the results of everything you do. I was talking with somebody the other day about that, and he made a point that this particular ministry is good because of the results that it might have. And I said, well, that's kind of pragmatic. That's why the church is not a business. We do what we do not because of the tangible results that we always see, but because God has commanded us to in faith. In faith. There are opportunities for ministry. There are relationships that you are in that God commands you to be salt and be light. And in eternity, you'll see the results, but maybe not in this life. By the way, this doesn't mean that every time you give somebody the gospel, Every time you, by the way, excuse me, when I'm saying stewarding the relationship, it doesn't mean that every time you see that individual, you have to go through a gospel presentation. Maybe you've given it to them already and they said, I need to think about it. Well, then let them think about it. Continue to pray for them. Continue to be a Christian, to live out the gospel of Christ. Allow your testimony to make a difference after you have spoken the truth. Build a relationship with them. Show them the love that Christ has. Seek to gain a greater influence in their life that there might be a greater chance. The scripture says in Philippians 2, 14 and 15, do all things without murmuring and disputing. The gospel is powerful. And I would say that the life of a Christian who lives out Jesus Christ before them, Christ in you, the hope of glory, it only adds to that. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Wow, is he talking about the United States? No. Exactly, the whole world. That's just the world. As ye shine as lights in the world, the people that you're in contact with need to see that there's a difference, that you live what you say. Steward relationships. And I would say this finally, letter D, obey every prompting of the Holy Spirit. Every prompting of the Holy Spirit. This is an area that's difficult, and we need to do better at it. I know I do. We need to listen to Him and obey His promptings. There have been times when I have been prompted and not obeyed, and later on regretted it because that opportunity is gone. And I don't like that. I didn't like that feeling. You know, you think about, have you ever thought about the coincidences that happen in your life on a daily basis? Coincidences? No such thing as a coincidence for a believer. I remember some time ago, I was talking with Brother Larry Lee. I was hoping he was here this morning so I could pick on him. Probably not feeling well. A lot of folks not feeling well this time of year. He had an accident, car accident, not bad, where somebody ran into his car. And it was an opportunity to talk to the man about the Lord. He wasn't tooting his horn. He was just saying how that God set it up. He talked to the man, really got his attention. I know there have been times where I've been forced into situations. Jury selection. Who here loves jury duty? You love jury duty? Oh, wow. My goodness. Bless you. I despise it. But we should do it. Okay, it's our civic duty. At the same time, you're put into contact with people that you'd never meet otherwise. You know, plane rides. I remember when I was in college, I was struggling some financially, so I'd go donate my plasma and get paid for it. And in the plasma donating centers, I'll just put it this way, they're not really the elite of society there, usually. Some of the down and outs. Those folks would listen to the gospel. I could sit there and I'd be reading my Bible. I was in Bible college. They'd listen. God put those people in there. And so, you know, it was right at the right time. Have you ever thought about that maybe God desires to do this more and more so that you can come into contact with somebody who's searching and possibly praying for a message? I think of Philip in Acts chapter 8. The text is there in your notes as well, and it's on the screen. Here's Philip. He's going along. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip and said, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Yuck. You know, God says, go to the desert. Now, at this point, God didn't say why. He just said, go out in the desert. All right. So, what did he do? Well, he arose. He's an obedient man, and he went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So, God says, hey, go out in the desert. So, he goes out in the desert. Okay. All right. And there's this man out in the desert in a chariot. He was returning, verse 28, and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said, Spirit said unto Philip, by the way, Philip wasn't aware that he was reading, because the man was in his chariot. God's giving us this. Okay, it's behind the scenes info. God said unto Philip, go near, join thyself unto this chariot. You know, thumb a ride, out in the middle of the desert. Okay, that's kind of presumptuous, but go get in this guy's chariot. And so Philip does. What's the text say? It says, Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. Now, at this point, God doesn't tell Philip what to do. Philip picks up the ball. God told him where to go. He obeyed. For what reason? I don't know. I'm just going. And then he goes, and then there's this man, and God says, go get in his chariot. You know, that'd be like thumbing a ride. Hey, how you doing? I'm out in the middle of the desert. Can I? And he runs over, and he gets in the guy's chariot, and he hears him reading the Bible. And he says, understand thou what thou readest? Oh, you're reading the Bible. Do you understand that? The man says, how can I except someone should guide me? Immediately, Philip knew this man's not a believer. He desired that Philip would come and sit with him. Come over here. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led by a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before her shearers, so he opened not his mouth. That's Isaiah 53. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is from the earth. And the eunuch said unto Philip, I pray thee, of whom speakest this prophet, of himself or of some other man? Wow, that's like an invitation. When somebody says, you know, I heard this stuff on you know, television talking about the gospel. Imagine if you were knocking on somebody's door and they said, yeah, I heard somebody said something about a gospel. Can you explain the gospel to me? You can't ask for a better open door. But Philip never would have received that had he not answered the calling of the Spirit. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The door was open. Philip walked through it. He didn't know it ahead of time, but he was sensitive. He was at the right place at the right time with the right heart because he was ready, he was burdened, and he obeyed every prompting of the Holy Spirit. So we can be more effective witnesses. God knows what he wants to do. He doesn't always tell us what or where, but if we'll listen, he'll prod us. He'll give us nudging. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Yeah, 35 says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. There you go. All right, that's good. Thank you. Let's have a word of prayer as we close Sunday school. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray that you would just help us to honor you. Help us to be more effective, to be soul conscious, to develop an everywhere mentality. And we'll give you the honor and praise when you use us. In your name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed from Sunday school, and we will reconvene at 10:30.